And as we were thinking this afternoon, when we were centering around Gethsemane, I want to go on to the cross tonight, for you will know that that is exactly what the Lord Jesus did. Having lain before God as he did, he got up and he went to the cross. And unless a man or a woman comes to the cross, really and truly comes there, neither he nor she can really know what God has for them. Neither can God do the great things that he wants to do in any life until they come there. I do not mean just in figurative thinking. I do not mean in imagination. And I certainly don't mean to any piece of wood stuck up in a cruciform. I don't think that has any value at all, except possibly to distract. The glory of God's great power is that it was all dynamically revealed to us at Calvary. And you may be absolutely sure, from whatever branch of Christian thinking you may have come, or in which you may be now, unless you know the power of Calvary, you're still a long way from what God has for you. Now, Paul the Apostle knew this. He was a man who preached the great truth of the baptism in the Spirit, and he saw many, many people come into real and powerful experiences of Christ. And unless you are baptized in the Spirit, of course, you cannot come into that realm. For the cross of Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about a piece of wood now. The real cross of Jesus Christ, that is the spiritual cross of Jesus Christ, is in the Spirit. And unless a person comes to the place where they are wrought on by the Spirit of God and come into the Holy Spirit, they can't get to where the cross is, though they may take fanciful flights upon it by reading the right poetry, going to the right kinds of meanings, or believing in the right kinds of texts. Hallelujah, we are talking about reality. And so in the practical way in which Paul writes to the Galatians, I want to think with you about the cross. Now, the historic cross, excuse me, we all know about. In fact, if you belong to certain congregations in Christendom, you might have spent already a good long time of this day going through what they call the stations of the cross. However long that takes, I am not sure. I've never moved in that area, but I believe it takes a long time. The historic cross is very, very real, and it happened. It's a historic fact that God became man, retaining his Godhead in the process, and died as the God-man for man's sin, rose again from the dead, and took man back into God in a very, very marvelous way. But it's not so much the historic cross, as Paul knows that when he writes to these Galatians. If you look with me, first of all, into the third chapter, and I intend to take you through seven references to the cross in this little epistle. If you didn't know that there were seven references to the cross in this epistle, well, you will tonight, from now on. They're not all spoken of in exactly the same way. In fact, as we start in chapter 3, we read these words, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, or graphically described, crucified among you?" Now you will know that Galatia was a long, long way from Jerusalem. And you will have been taught, as I certainly was from my youth, that Jesus was actually, historically crucified on a cross outside the walls of Jerusalem. But Paul here says that Jesus Christ was evidently set forth, crucified, right there in the midst of Galatia. And immediately you see he's not talking about the historic cross. He's talking about the Holy Spirit setting forth the truth, the power, the reality of the cross in the midst of a people through a man utterly devoted to God's will. That the Holy Ghost can take the fact, the reality, the truth, the power of the cross and set it right here in the midst of us tonight. And the cross will be here. Christ crucified in the midst. That's why it was all wrought out on the earth. It wasn't just to be the turning point in history. It was to be the turning point in a man's life as well, in reality. And for that, it has to be made here, present, and available. If it was just something that men had built like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, well, it's still there, leaning a little bit more than it was. But it can't be set forth in the midst here. The Colossus of Rhodes can't be transported and put in the midst here, even though a man describe it faithfully, and we should have to call upon other people than myself to do that tonight. Bless God, it's all real in the Holy Ghost. Thank God that the Holy Spirit came following the ascent of Jesus into heaven in order that he should make the church the living center where the power of the cross should be known. Any one of you in this room tonight, whoever you are, can have dealings with God at the cross here in this room. Whatever you need. Not talking about whatever your fancy may be. God's not here to deal with your fancies. He's to deal with your need. And if a man will face his need and stop hiding behind his fancies or fantasies, God will meet him. But what you can't do is crack a whip and make God dance to your tune. You can't do that. God descended into this world. God dealt with sin. God chose the time. God tells you the truth. And when Paul wrote to these Galatians, he told them that they were bewitched. And anything is witchery and witchcraft in this realm that keeps you from the truth. It may not be a person with a long black coat and a pointed hat astride a broomstick. That's fairyland. That's not what we're talking about. But witchcraft is the working of the unseen devil that weaves his webs around people's minds, whether they call themselves paupers or princes or professors. makes no difference. To bring them out of truth and away from reality. Now let's understand this absolutely right, that Calvary is stark reality. And unless a man comes to that place where they want reality at any cost, they cannot enter into what God has, because God produced reality on earth at any cost to himself. Amen. I would like to begin the story way back in Luke, but I've come here because if we're going to get through 7 points, that will take us plenty long enough tonight. Jesus Christ evidently set forth, crucified among you. That is, as though you were standing around the cross, outside the wall of Jerusalem, beholding it afar off, as most of them beheld it. Amen. Well, the first thing I think we really ought to look at is perhaps a rather obscure reference to the cross, or one that you may not have noticed at first sight. It's in chapter 5, where Paul is speaking like this. And I, brethren, verse 11, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Now, if you are familiar with your Bible, you will know that the nation of Israel started spiritually in circumcision. That it was the beginning of truth, that they were in the covenant of God. That God was not obliged. Will you take this in? God was not obliged to keep his promises to anybody that was not circumcised. Now, will you remember that? That doesn't mean to say he made promises to them and regarded himself as being exonerated from keeping his word. No, he never made his promises to anybody that wasn't circumcised. Now, that's the bottom of it. You see that? Now, this will explain straight away why so many of the promises of God in the Bible don't work, perhaps, in your life. Because they were never made to you. They were made for you to read and believe. But they're not made to you individually until you know the New Testament counterpart of Old Testament circumcision. You got that right? That circumcision was the only way that men and women could ever be in the covenant of God. Now, when God has covenanted to you, he'll keep his word at all costs to you. Doesn't matter what happens, he'll be true, he'll be faithful. Now, this is why the cross is such a touchy point. You see, I noticed how you set up straight away when I talked about God not keeping his promises to people. So, ooh, you see. So my head's on the chopping block straight away. That's the way I get into trouble. But it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true that you have to know where you come into this. And blessed be the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and blessed be the name of his Father who begot him, and the Holy Ghost who bore him through Mary. Praise the name of the Lord. That At the cross, the Lord took on spiritual circumcision in your name, and for your sake, if you will have it. Amen. I don't want to go into the details of circumcision. You can easily find that out if you want to know. But this is where Paul was always in trouble. He said, the cross is the circumcising factor. And unless a man will come via the cross, he can talk about the law, he can sing his Psalms of David, he can burn his incense and talk about blood, 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 blood. Why? The Jewish nation was steeped in blood of animals. They could talk about the lot. There's hardly a thing that a spirit-baptized congregation today can talk about, but that the Jews could say the same. They had it. That's the thing that you and I have to see. The glory of it all was this, that by the cross, and only by the cross, can a man ever think or ever hope to be in the blessings and in the promises of God. There isn't any other way. And you have to accept the cross in that light and for that work. This has always been the trouble throughout the history of the church. You preach, come to Jesus, you see. I just want to give an illustration of this. We say, come to Jesus. That's right, but when you read your Gospels, will you do this? You'll find that though people came to Jesus, they came to him by the multitude. But it didn't come right. You see, he says, I'm the bread of life. Well, if you don't come hungry, you won't eat him. Don't you see? He said, you come, you believe, right? Come and drink. But we don't come thirsty. We simply come to escape getting to hell or something. Don't you see? And so it's all taken out of its context. And people never believe right. So they never come into everything that God has for them. And here is this. Have you ever come to Christ? Have you ever come to the cross of Christ that you should be spiritually circumcised? Do you know that circumcision was a brand mark in the flesh? Was marked out by it. Did you know that? Have you ever come like that? Did you know, for instance, that the word used here, the offense of the cross in verse 11, did you know what it was? It's really the Greek word scandalon, which means the pricker of a fall trap. Now, if you don't know what a fall trap is, I can tell you what it is, because when we moved out of London, I'm a Londoner by birth. If you didn't know this before, just listen, you'll hear it. It'll come out when I get excited. And at 13, we moved, when I was 13, sorry, in case you think it was 1913. when I was 13 years of age, our family moved down into Kent. And it wasn't long before I got to know all the sort of little things of the country, folklore. I'm afraid I learned how to take apples that weren't mine, but God's forgiven me for that. And I did all sorts of things like that. But one of the things I learned was how to catch goldfinches in a trap or rabbits in a snare. I could tell you all about it. I'm not saying that there aren't any farmers or farmers' boys or girls here that probably could tell you as much as I. But you don't get many goldfinches up north where I am living at the moment. So what they used to do was to get six bricks, you see, and they'd put two this way, you know, each side, making a square. Sometimes an oblong, they'd put two extra. They'd put a slate hinging on the back, you see, like that, and it was propped up by two sticks at the front, and in between they had another thing, like that. So, I wonder if I can do it. I haven't got enough fingers. Well, we'll take that, you see. That would be, now that would be the scandalon, or the tricker. They put down some seeds, or things that the goldfinches liked. The poor goldfinch would come, and they just happened to touch that. As soon as touch it, they were inside. They were caught. It was so delicately balanced that sometimes, if they stirred their wings without touching it, down. Well, now that's what Paul is talking about. Such a touchy subject, you see. Perhaps I've already upset you. Well, I believe in the cross. I always have used this as a very touchy subject. But have you really come to the cross of Jesus Christ? Listen, beloved. May I tell you that it is the answer to all your needs. Whatever you say they are, it doesn't matter whether you're talking in the mental realm or in the emotional realm or in the spiritual realm. It does not matter who. Glory be to God. If you come to the cross and the blessed crucifixion of Christ aright, you can be a free woman or man tonight. And you won't need one more word to your heart if you'll come. Well, this is marvellous. Why aren't you all shouting hallelujah? I'll tell you, because you don't believe it. That's why. Now, praise the Lord, whether you believe it or not, it's true. And your trouble is not the devil, and it's not the world, and it's not the success of your business or otherwise. It's not the person you live with. It's not your circumstances. It's you. It's your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through his death, primarily, and his resurrection. Now, what a marvelous thing is this. It's time we understood it. You know, when we come together on Sunday morning, it will be Easter Day. Thou sing up from the grave he arose, you see, somebody will ask for it. And we'll sing all of blessed Easter Day. He's alive, he's alive, hallelujah. I was in a class in Liverpool, where was it? Newcastle, I think, it was last Sunday, that's right. No, Middlesbrough, sorry. And I was preaching to some young folk there, and they were singing the chorus, God is not dead. I don't know why in the world people want to get such fantastic choruses. Who ever thought he was? But there it is. They're hitting at some imaginary person that believes that God's dead, if ever you did. If a person doesn't really believe in God, they don't want to believe he's dead. They don't believe he is. I don't believe he was and now he's died. That's stupid thinking, if ever there was. And they sing it as a Christian chorus, if ever you did. It's come from the background of completely pagan thinking about it. But anyway, amen. God's alive. Everybody thinks it's a mighty miracle. Oh, they went to the tomb. And I want to tell you, there wasn't a miracle at all. That was only a logical outcome. The miracle was Calvary, not the resurrection. That followed, like day follows night. That's only where we see it. You see, everybody sees people die hanging on crosses. They used to see them hanging on ropes in England at one period. We've seen them die, but nobody saw anybody come alive again afterwards. So it's marvellous, marvellous. Marvelous! Well, of course it wasn't. He said he was the resurrection and the life. He never once said he was the death. Don't you see? The miracle was the fact that he died, beloved. That's the miracle. If he hadn't died, there wouldn't have been any need for the resurrection. He was the resurrection. He was and still is the life. Amen. The resurrection just proved it. Quite natural. Amen. What a glorious thing it is for us to understand these great truths. But the death is the thing, beloved, when we come to this marvelous experience. All right. It's the whole trouble, though, the real tricker. This afternoon I told you of something that happened in USA. Let me tell you something that happened in Canada. When I went to Canada first, and there I was booked to go to a lot of meetings, and I did, you know. Went here and went there and went somewhere else. And I was due to go to a certain place to preach. And they weren't sure about me. Well, I don't blame them. And in a particular meeting where I went and preached, there was a gentleman there that was the leader of the meeting to which I was supposed to go the next night. After the meeting was over, he said I couldn't go to his meeting. And you know why? It's because I preached on being a bond slave. They just had their eyes open, so they were saying, you know, we are the sons of God. You know, everybody was up marching and jumping around, apparently, because they were the sons of God. But because I preached from Revelation chapter 1, it was Jesus, a bond slave. John, a bond slave. And Jesus said, write to my bond slaves. So I preached to bond slaves. That finished me. They didn't want that. God help us. Save us from this insanity. I am among you as one that serveth. Does bond slavery service. That's what he's talking about. That's what Jesus said. Only the sons may be slaves. But they were thinking, well, if you're slaves, you can't be a son, because they keep getting their minds back in Egypt or Babylon, you see, where they were in slavery. The marvelous thing about it, beloved, is that the cross, there's nothing more plain about the cross than this, that it was the place of utter addiction and bond slavery to do Father's will. It was the slavery of utter love. Was it the nails, O Saviour, that bore thee to the tree? Nay, 'twas thine everlasting love, thy love for me, for me. Oh, make me understand it. Help me to take it in what it meant to thee, the Holy One, to take away my sin. Yes. Beloved, have you been to the cross in the way that we're going to see before we're through tonight? Into chapter 2. No, chapter 3, I think. We'll stop there en route. And in chapter 3, we read these words. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And there, we are brought up against the stark reality and out of religious thinking. and what religion has done for the cross among men and women. I don't know, in an elect or select or whatever company I'm like this that's here, whether if I went round and had a good look on men's lapels or women's chains, you know, silver ones, they may have something they call a cross. A lovely little golden thing or silver thing or nicely polished wood. I saw somebody not so long ago, they got a big leather thong round their neck and a great big wooden cross hanging on it, banging about, swinging everywhere with them. Now listen, beloved, if they want to be real, they ought to have an ugly old bit of a twig hanging on. Because that's all it was. You doesn't think that the Romans said, no, this is a very nice man, this Jesus. We'll get our best carpenter to make a lovely cross. And we'll polish it and make it smooth. His poor back is sore. And so on. Now, don't you think that? It was a rough, rugged old bit of tree trunk. The more it hurt him, the better. That's how bestial they were. Let's get these other effigies gone out of our mind. There's nothing like that. See, this veneration of something until it's become absolutely torn away from its origins and made a symbol of religion. Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. In Israel, can you remember the famous story of Absalom being caught up in a tree? Can you remember? By his hair. And he hung there till Joab came and stuck some darts into his liver or his heart and killed him. Hanging on a tree. The cursed of the Lord. Can you remember that? That's the thing. Beloved, we are dealing with a God of utmost righteousness. And we're in a world, beloved, where everything is wrong, torn out of its context. Things that are ugly, they try to make them beautiful. And things that are truly beautiful, they're kicked around as though they're ugly. The world's all upside down. The Lord Jesus hung on the cross. It was just a tree. They wanted to hurt him to death. That's what they wanted to do. But he defeated them all, of course. He defeated death. The other two hung there till death overtook them and beat them. He cheated death. He dismissed his spirit. Do you understand? He moved in. He took a new glorious approach to it. The royal approach. It was though he said, death, here I come. I put away the sin. I've taken away the sting. I've borne Father's wrath. I've brought everything to an end. Here I come. And he dismissed his spirit and went down. Conqueror. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Conqueror! He'd already conquered the means of death. He'd conquered man's hatred. He'd conquered everything. Hallelujah! I want to start shouting and jumping now. He went down and he done it, beloved. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He went down there. And this is what he was really talking about. When he went up on that Mount of Transfiguration and for the first time some men got a glimpse through into the real glory and they heard him talking with Moses and Elijah that everybody thought was dead anyway. Well, Elijah, they weren't quite sure about him, but he'd gone up there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They were all alive. They were all in conversation and in communion. Hallelujah. Wonderful place there. And they were talking. And they heard him talking about his exodus that he was going to accomplish at Jerusalem. They'd come to honor the king on his journey, Moses and Elijah. They'd come to worship him. They'd come to commune with him. How's it going, Lord? Fine. Hallelujah. And he was moving on in his great campaign. Do you see this? If not, God, open your eyes and waken you up to see the truth. Stop pitying Jesus. Let him pity you. Bless the Lord. He died. So, we say, and there's no other word you can use about it, of course, here is the beggary of our language. To try and convey spiritual truth in any language is well nigh an impossibility because of incompatibility of ideas and what the truth really is. That's what he said, you foolish Galatians, who've bewitched you that you shouldn't obey the truth about the cross. Amen. The law said, cursed is everybody that hangeth upon a tree. The law also said this, if you will follow me down to the scripture, verse 10, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do those things and do those works. What a curse that was, that there was a curse for those who did not continue in righteousness. How about that? Well, blessed be the name of the Lord, we're in the age of grace. We've been relieved, we've been redeemed from the curse. Isn't that a marvelous thing? The people that we meet as we move around, they've got no stability in them. It's not always their fault. Their mother or their father was like it, and their great-grandmother was worse still, and we've inherited I don't know what by coming in to the race after the fall of Adam. But Jesus Christ, bless his name, has relieved us of that. So if you say, well, I'm one of these people, I don't seem to be able to make up my mind or keep two thoughts together for about a week, how am I going to get on now? Listen, there's no curse on you for that. You realize that this is grace immeasurable. And you can come, believe, beloved. We're not under a curse. We're under blessing. Isn't this a tremendous thing? Let's just remind ourselves of the blessing. I always like to do it when I read this section. And it says this, that Christ in verse 13 has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Glory be to God. Isn't this a marvelous thing? Have you been utterly redeemed, and do you understand what redemption is? Do you know that redemption is God buying you for himself totally? Did you know that? Every part of you for God. That's what redemption is. Oh, isn't this a tremendous thing? Totally redeemed. That was the basic reason Jesus went to the cross. Jesus did not go to the cross firstly to forgive us our sins. Jesus went to the cross firstly to shed his blood so that he had total right to possess you and do with you what he wants. That's why he went to the cross. Isn't this a marvelous thing? So that he could really say, you are mine. I bought you, you see. He'll say, wagging his finger at you, you've done this, you've done that, you've done the other, you've done something else. Well, if he kept on, I don't know how long, he would have to deal with every one of us on this you, condemnation, 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 till we'd never be able to lift our head off the pillow. We've all sinned enough too much. Is that right? Well, he bought us. Hallelujah. That was this fundamental thing. He says, now I've rolled my sleeves up. Now I can really get down to business. I bought you. You're mine. I have every right to do what I want with you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't this a tremendous thing? We've been redeemed from it. Amen. This is grace. It's real goodness. It's not taking account of your sins. It's making sure he's got you first. That's right. Now he says, this sin, how about that? After that, I've got you. Now that's not allowed. Not in my Father's house. So it's not a law. It says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh, well, you see, that's not allowed in my Father's house. It's rather different. Same thing, of course. He hasn't changed them at all. Thou shalt not steal. Say, no. Now, in Father's house, we don't take what doesn't belong to us. Just have all that does belong to you, that I've purchased for you to have. Amen. That should keep you busy. You won't want to be stealing anybody else's things. That's what it's all about. Don't you see that? It's a new area of movement. It's a new approach to the same old problem. It's a new covenant. Amen. And amen. So what are you doing, sinning? What are you doing going on in that same old way? Well, what are you doing anyway? Chapter 2. Verse 20. I, says Paul, am crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. That's right. What are you doing anyway? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. And if you don't live as he's explained to in verse 20, you are frustrating the grace of God. You've refused to let him go through with the reason and to the objectives for which he redeemed you. Amen. This is what it's all about. Oh, glory. I have been crucified with Christ. May I remind you again that this is a personal testimony. He's not saying, sit up now, I'm going to teach you some doctrine. He says, this is my personal testimony. If I said, stand up every one of you that could give the same testimony. Well, I'll testify that I believe it's in the Bible, I believe it, hallelujah. That's not what Paul said. It's become the Bible since he gave his testimony. Don't you see? It was his testimony. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You see, here he got down to the root of all your troubles because he got down to the root of all his. All his troubles were himself. So say, the devil's done this and the devil's done that. Well, if you were crucified with Christ, you've been through the severest troubles that you could ever have, because that's where Christ met them all, on the cross. If you were crucified with Christ, you were crucified to live. The only way into this great life of Christ is to be crucified into it. That's how he got into that glorious life, didn't he? That man that lay on his face in Gethsemane and walked to the judgment halls and then went out through the gate bearing his cross. He was crucified into that glorious life that they saw afterwards. Amen. The crucifixion transformed him. Absolutely transformed him. Now that's what it will do for you. Transform you. Nobody cast devils out of him to make him a new man. Nobody preached a sermon to him. That's it. Glory be to God. Beloved, we are now at the basic point, the turning point in your history. You go through this, or else you'll continue to be what you've always been, and nobody can help you till you come here. Oh, they can give you a little alleviation. They can light a candle of hope for you. They can do all those sorts of things. But until you come to see this great thing that Jesus Christ did and get to the root of all troubles, sin can't trouble you if you're dead. Devils can't trouble you if you are dead. Amen. Your neighbor can't bother you very much if you are dead. You can't, they can't. That's beyond their powers. You aren't touchy anymore. Take things to your heart. See, I'm one of these people that feel it very much and take it to my heart. You get dead, you won't feel anything. You get dead. You know how to get dead? The cross. Is the cross the answer to my need? The cross is the answer to my need. On the cross, Jesus said, farewell to sin, farewell to the devil, farewell to demons, farewell, hallelujah, at the cross. Amen and amen. That's where it happened. I pray that God will open the eyes of your heart so wide that you shall see so vividly that your tongue will never be given to uttering the untruth of it's the devil's fault, or it's my boss's fault, or it's someone else's fault, or this or that fault. But that you will start to talk the honest truth of God. Amen. Hallelujah. What a tremendous thing it is. Nobody gets blamed then. You can never say a wrong thing about anybody anymore. You can't blacken their characters. Nothing like that anymore. Isn't it an amazing thing, this death? It's the great blanket death. Amen. He never felt the crown anymore, the thorns. He never felt the nails anymore. And when they stuck the spear in him, he never felt that, for he was gone. He never knew the latest indignities. He never saw or felt the last and worst of the matter. That is, in the flesh. He never felt the coldness of the slab. Nothing. He was dead. Now, this is what God's talking about. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is the great point of release. Amen. This is where you get free from yourself. This is where your inhibitions go. This is where you stop talking about areas. There's a lot of talk about areas now. We're all right if we can do our mental arithmetic and work out the squares and the square roots and one thing and another. Areas, areas, areas. What are areas? When you really get born again, it's no good about talking about areas to babies. They say, give me some milk. Well, they don't say it. Hallelujah. Listen, beloved, it doesn't matter what area you may be thinking about. I tell you, the cross is the answer to it. Yes. The cross. Amen. Blessed Jesus. Blessed Jesus. Who'd alleviated so many people's needs and ministered to so many people's pains and dealt with people in all their distresses every time took the last great step and went to the cross. And God laid on him the iniquity of us all. And God made him, and he was, the last Adam. Glory. So nobody has to die for Adam's sin anymore. What a tremendous thing this is. I'm free. All the curse that's come into the world, all the heredity of my father or mother, if they used to have black moods and do this, that, and the other, and used to throw the crockery about, or whatever it was. We don't have crockery now, we have plastic. But that sort of thing. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether they used to scream in their tantrums and fight like cats and dogs. Doesn't matter what they did. Hallelujah. I'm free of it. Free of the law. Hallelujah. Oh, it's so tremendous. Have you seen the vastness of what God did? But there's something down at the bottom of you said, whoa, I'm going down. Sorry. It's absolutely true. God forgive you for taking that attitude. The cross is the ultimate. How many of us believe it? Go to any man but Jesus. Go to Jesus. It's done. That's the truth. You know he said it before he left the cross. Wouldn't leave the cross till he could say it. Finished! I'd love to have heard that shout. I'd love to have heard it. Finished. Glory be to God. The veil was rent in Christ alone. The middle wall is broken down. The bar to heaven is removed. Types and shadows are fulfilled. Exacted is the legal pay. Who could write like this man Wesley? Except perhaps his peer Bunyan or somebody like that. The tremendousness of the truth, beloved. But how many of you have really come this? How many of you really want to die anyway? you get great satisfaction out of this and that and the other. You know you do. It gratifies you for a time. And then you get over your pride, and perhaps you come to tears, and then it all builds up and it happens again. I'm crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. It was done, beloved, because even God could do nothing with you but have you killed. So what do you expect about a poor elder? What do you think he can do? God could do nothing with your spiritual self and have you slain. That's what Jesus came for. Don't try offering a prayer or two. Don't try saying, I'll read a portion every day. Do it, but don't think that's the answer. The answer is getting the revelation that Paul had. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Let your spirit go winging, sing. Let your soul go with power. Faith will never come to your heart until you love the sound of the truth. Until you enwrap it into your heart. Until you be one with it. Sing with it. Live with it. Rejoice in it. Moment by moment, I am crucified with Christ. If ever you want to know that Jesus Christ loves you, if ever you want to come to be the one special one, not in any way of pride, but knowing that he really loves you, you've got to identify here, the Son of God loved me. That's how he finishes the verse. And gave himself for me. Amen. Notice how he changes. He doesn't come and say, and he died for me. He goes beyond that. He says, he gave himself for me. I am crucified. I was crucified with Christ. But he gave himself for me. Gave himself for me. Blessed, blessed be his name. It's though everything now is come to a standstill, all movement has ceased. Suddenly a light has come from heaven and a voice has spoken to you, and you're down there in the dust and your eyes are blinded to everything else so that you can't see anything now. That's the way Saul of Tarsus came. And it's bad. Who art thou? You know me, yes, Saul, Saul, who art thou? I am Jesus. It was done in a moment of time. Saul died on the Damascus Road. You'll never find anything else in the history book of the Bible but that Saul died there. Finished. I'm crucified. Hallelujah. 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 My trouble is I can't tell it to you as I want to, but it's true. Nevertheless, I live, no longer I, but Christ liveth in me. That's why he went to the cross. He couldn't get into you except by being crucified into you. He couldn't get into you except by the cross. He couldn't get into you. He wouldn't come as an intruder. He wouldn't be like a thief and climb up some other way. He couldn't get you until he dealt with you. Usurping, wrong, wicked self and spirit that you were. That's right. That's the cross. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, men see something hanging on a chain or on a leather thong or stuck up on a building or what they don't do, painted or photographed or something. Oh, God. Amen. The cross as a tree was a thing of a moment. The cross of the Spirit is eternal. It's here. All mankind. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Hallelujah. I'm in the covenant. I've been redeemed. Touchy point this, because somebody told you all you needed to do was to get a sort of another touch from the Spirit. Or you needed to be blessed by Mr. So-and-so, or go and have somebody else minister to you. Touchy point this. There are ministries in the body. But why don't you receive the ministry of the head? Why don't you? Why don't you? Glory be to God. Lord, have you really got the answer to my need? I have the answer. As the Lord. Then we go on. I believe I'm at point number 5, am I? All right. Point number 5. Chapter 5. 24. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. Amen. They that are Christ's, they've done it. Did you see? It's not that they're going to do it. It isn't that they're striving to do it. They've done it. Glory be to God. Has it ever come into your heart? Has it ever dawned on you what it means to be Christ? Hey? And not now in the sense of a lamb or a sheep in a flock, because that's a very sort of an impersonal relationship. It's very nice when you think about it. We drove down, yes, I suppose it's drive now, isn't it? I mean, they have diesels and they have drivers, don't they? So I suppose we have to drive down with about, I don't know how many hundreds or thousands others, in a train. And as we were coming down from Edinburgh, you know, occasionally my wife would look out the window and say, "Who's the lamb?" You see, "Some lambs there." And so there was another lady in another corner, maybe they were rather conscious, big lambs, little lambs, woolly lambs, black-headed lambs, coloured lambs, all kinds of lambs, real mixtures. I tell you, even the lambs change colour in Scotland. But the tremendous thing is, it's a very sort of an impersonal thing, a lamb and a shepherd. Jesus isn't really talking that way. He wants you to see things in another light, you see. That they that are Christ, not the shepherds now. They that are Christ. Oh, he was the shepherd. He'll fill the role of shepherd to you when you need it. This is the marvel of him. But he wants you to come up into another understanding of it all. I'm Christ. Hallelujah. It's a personal thing. A wonderful personal revelation. And if you're in the love of Christ, if you've seen this wonderful lover of your soul that's not after your flesh in any wrong, stinking sense, and he's not here to excite lusts as fleshy people do, one upon another, that he came to kill those and destroy them, so that you may be united to Jesus in a wonderful, pure way of love. And the flesh and the lusts crucified for love of Jesus. Have you seen that? That's what it's all about. It's not for self-fulfillment, although I can promise you, if you will walk in the Spirit, you'll find yourself wondrously fulfilled. You'll not be a frustrated person at all if you will live and walk in the Spirit. But oh, beloved, there are just some things about you that Jesus Christ has no intention of satisfying, and no intention of fulfilling. None at all. There are some things about you that the only way he can deal with you and them is to bring in the death of his cross, the separating factor, the great principle. It's got to go. It's got to go. It doesn't matter how you dress up that flesh or what you imagine it to be. It's all got to go. All the things that are associated with mere self-indulgence and self-fulfillment and self-gratification, you can think them all out. I don't want to go through a list of them publicly. You know them. Things that puff up the ego, things that should be nice and sweet and natural about us, distorted and made ugly by false fires within us, generated by the rottenness of the world in which we live. Now listen, beloved. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh and the lusts. This is the power of the cross. God is able to separate between that which is right and wrong in the powers of our flesh. That's the cross, and he can only do it by the cross. And you won't have the cross. Not as though something terrible. Got to bear the cross. Something delightful, Lord. That blessed scalpel. That diathermic needle. That thing that can really get right in there and cut out of us without hurting us one little bit. Without harming us and without destroying us from being a man or a woman, but beautifying us into something that's wondrous and acceptable in heaven, because Jesus Christ lived like that as a man on the earth. Amen. That's the life that Father accepted back in your behalf, that you may receive that wondrous way of living. As we were saying this afternoon, it's exactly what Jesus said. He said, I'm the way. I'm the way. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't this glorious, beloved? Day of the Christ, they've done that. Amen. If you live in the Spirit, you're to walk in the Spirit. That's the way it happens. Keep walking in the Spirit. Keep listening to the Spirit. Don't listen to the siren voices of the world. Don't look at, don't associate with, don't give your mind to, don't think upon those things. Don't go that way. Walk and live in the Spirit. Listen to the blessed Spirit. Cultivate the companionship of Jesus. That's what it's all about. Amen. And the fruit of the Spirit that's preceding that very verse we looked at, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, generous. Oh, what a life. What a life. Live in love as God counts love. Love with the love wherewith the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father, and Jesus loves the church, and Jesus loves you. Live in that love. Live in the joy of it. Live in the blessing of it. Live in the heaven of it, in the freedom of it. That's what it's all about. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I learn with amazement that the cross is now set at my disposal. I can use that cross, blessed cross. I can't handle the trunk of the tree upon which they nailed his body. But I can handle the power of the cross, the dynamic thing in the Spirit that sets demon hosts fleeing and the devil has to run away from. Where sin was dealt with, where God was glorified. I can handle it. Oh, glory. What power is equal to this? Oh, blessed Spirit who came with power. What power is equal to this? None. This is the power of God. Consult Paul, 1 Corinthians 1. Amen. People want power over this. They want power in that realm. They want to deal with this. They want to do that. They sing about the church triumphant, marching on with gifts and powers and so on. And blessed be the Lord, we need it. But how about this? Jesus was so free from the world and from himself that he could minister to others. That's right. Glory be to God. verse 26. Let you don't be desirous of vain glory. He's moving into another realm in which he deals in this sixth chapter. The last two references. Verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Terrible thing, you know, isn't it? The people in those days were using something which God gave originally as the badge of acceptance and acceptability. Get them circumcised, get somebody circumcised, and that was it, you see. Now you're okay. Paul was saying, never. Never. Hallelujah. They'll suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Oh, they were in days, beloved, when it was the respectable thing to go along to their worship. It was every Saturday then. instead of every Sunday. You see, this air and badge of acceptability and respectability, God's not thinking a little bit about that. He has souls in view. He has the whole thing in perspective. What's the use of being merely respectable? Now, listen, I use the word merely. Merely respectable. Of course, we should all live proper, respectable lives. But what's the use of being merely respectable and going to hell at the end of it? What's the use of it? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Paul says, I keep preaching the cross. People come in and say, yeah, but it's not. You know, they must do this. Why don't they do that? Why don't they go along here? Why don't they do that? Paul says, I'm preaching the cross. And listen, in this epistle, he'll tell you, if you read it in chapter 2, he rebuked Peter because Peter was prevaricating. Peter was moving about, vacillating, and Paul rebuked him too. Amen. Here then is the tremendous truth. The cross. The cross. Hallelujah. It is, you know. The cross is the touchstone of faith. When faith touches the cross, when faith really comes there, when faith fastens on it, Lord, I see it, I know it, I believe it, away dread self, away awful sin, finished with this fleshiness in which I'd been wallowing, building myself up in it, feeding my appetites. Away with it all. Out! Get it out of your system. Get it out of your homes. Get it gone. Shut the door against the vagrant and the thief that's come to rob Christ of his glory. Get it out! Sell yourselves and your children and your visitors for a mess of pottage. Get it gone. Can't you hear the voice from heaven? Then you're dead in a wrong sphere. The death that Jesus Christ came to penetrate, and the death that Jesus Christ's death will obviate. Glory be to God. Let fire fall, Lord. Let fire fall. The cross. Hallelujah. Take the cross into your heart. Take it there where your flesh wants things. Set it there at the entrance to your mind. Set it upon your forehead. Write it upon your wrists. Write it on your gateposts. I'm not saying going for phylacteries or sticking texts all over your walls. Let the cross stand in your heart, and God gather all the vagrant things of your life around it and slay them. That's what it's all about. Amen. No stepping stones for Satan. No door left ajar for him to enter. Amen, Lord. This is reality. Glory. Anybody with any common sense knows it. You know, I got lots of medical friends. I keep telling you this. I don't know why God's planted my life in this sphere. I didn't ask him to. Mind you, they're quite decent. But the whole glory of it is this. I'm going to Nigeria. So everything starts to buzz. Oh, you must get this done. Have you had your jab? Have you had this?
Well, I'm all right. I'm as fit as a fiddle.
Ah, we've got to close any possible avenue. So, have you got your malaprin? You see, so I have to take a malaprin. If you don't know what malaprins are, don't go abroad. You needn't learn. It's all right. They don't do you any harm. They're just in case you might catch malaria. Just in case. And it's got a broader spectrum, because it's got some chloride in it, you know. So I say, yes, like somebody very learned, and put the thing on the tongue and swallow it. That's just in case. Now listen, the cross is in case. It not only works retrospectively, it works here and prospectively. Hallelujah. Let a man stay there. He's as safe as God himself. And let the devil roar. And let all the demons dance their fandango. Have you ever heard about a man named Smith Wigglesworth? Have you ever heard about him? The famous story? One night he woke up and he sort of... there was someone in the room, so I understand he lit a candle because you didn't have torches then. He had a look around and he said, oh, it's you, is it? He went to sleep again. Well, the devil's come, who's he? He went to sleep again. Don't you see? He didn't go. Famous Wiggles would expect him to got up and thrown the devil out as far as the deep Red Sea. But he didn't. He just went to sleep. Why should he bother his head about devils? What have they got to do with him? But if you mention devil, they're up, you know. They're dressing. They've got their dressing gown rushing around and going to everything. Blew the candle out, went to sleep. That's the way to treat the devil. Oh, that's... I tell you, that really wrangles him. There's a way, beloved. There's a way with God, and there's a way with sin, and there's a way with self, and there's a way with the devil, and there's a way with everything under the sun. Hallelujah. Who sleeps in Jesus sleeps in peace. Who sleeps with the cross for his pillow is safe as God himself. Who sleeps there? Who lives there? Never a yard away from Calvary. Never goes wrong. But you can pray your prayers with a cross hanging round your neck, a so-called cross, and go as deep into sin as it's possible to go. And without it, of course. I only want to make the point. The whole glorious thing is that the cross is a living, living thing of God. Amen. And so we come to the last point where we read... God forbid, verse 14, that I should boast. He realized that when he talked about I'm crucified with Christ, that might have been a little bit near to boasting. He said, God forbid that I should boast. Say, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified under me, and I under the world, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, you see, can't get away from it, circumcision of anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. As many of you as walk according to this rule, so you see, there's a rule for walking in the Spirit. You want to walk in the Spirit, it's all in the Spirit. Yes, yes. But there's a rule. And it was Jesus who established the rule in the Spirit. You've got to walk according to this rule, the cross. The cross is the rule. You walk according to this, that I'm crucified, the world's crucified, the flesh is crucified, lusts are crucified, the devil's gone, everything's gone. That's how you've got to walk. See, but the world's full of devils, we've got to take it for Christ. Oh yes, the world's full of devils, rather a different subject. I'm talking about personal experience. We may touch on the other subject before we're through the weekend. But here's the glory of it, beloved. Don't do another thing. Don't take another step. Don't cry another cry or pray another prayer until you come here. Don't appeal to this man. Don't appeal to that woman. Don't. Why should you? Oh, foolish Exonians, or wherever you come from, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Do you see your trouble? Disobedience. You are determined to think your own thoughts and go your own way, even if it kills you. You're determined to show that what you believe is right, see? This is what I think of this, this is what I said. I'll tell him this, I'll tell her that. You don't need to do anything of the sort, beloved. Here's the cross. I don't want to draw your attention to a tortured, twisted body and dripping blood mingling with sweat. I don't want to draw your attention to soldiers gambling over a coat. I don't want to draw your attention to the noise and the stench. I don't want to draw your attention to bulls of Bashan and unicorns tossing a soul around in its last agonies. I don't want to draw your attention to devils and men. I don't want to draw your attention to anything that this world has ever seen. But just this, that the faithful God is here and the cross is here. It's all here. If you should see the glorious Lord tonight, not with an idea of a projection from a past episode of history, that you should see him bleeding, torn, and dying, and mourn for him beating your breasts, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me. Weep for yourselves. Hallelujah. Right away from all that. That's not it. It's this. Why have you disobeyed Jesus thus far in your life? To bring your own troubles on yourselves. Listen. I know people that just can't have all that they want, God wants to have, because they've already determined in their heart on several issues they will not at any cost do God's will. That's why. Think, I may be talking about you. You determined in your heart not to listen to anything else but what you think and what you believe. You're determined not not to let the fleshly thrills and experiences that you have go. You think it is your right, your inheritance, because you're a girl or a boy or a man or a woman. The devil will give you license over the whole field of sin to indulge yourself. And you will find 999 people out of every 1,000 to tell you that it's right. You will read it in the novels you read, in the books you read, the papers you pick up, in what judges say, from the bench, or what even comes from the woolsack. You'll find it taught by professors. You'll find it even taught by people who fulfill the position that I am filling now. But I tell you in the name of Jesus Christ, that the cross is the answer to it all. Jesus said it was finished there, didn't he? But somebody taught you to think that that was just the end of animal sacrifices for sin or something like that. Poor, limited, stunted, stilted approach to the cross of Almighty God made plain on the earth. It's the end of death and sin. It's the end of the devil's hopes for you. Amen. 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 And I must stop preaching to you now, for it's time for you to act. For before your eyes, God hath evidently set forth Jesus Christ crucified among you. Will you signify the end of all that pretentious living of the past? Will you signify the end and let it be known by everybody in this room that you've not been right? We've all had to do it. Will you move and say, Lord, from this moment, I know what it is. I'll do it if you say so. I'll go through, Lord. I'll be what you want to be. I'll get rid of this. I'll cut that right out. Lord, from this moment, that's what I'll do. I'll be the man you want me to be. I'll be the woman you want me to be. And if you say that, you might be one out of a million souls on earth this night. For the vast hundreds of millions think nothing at all about it. But Lord, the world's dead to me, and I'm going to be dead to the world. What is it? I see the sights that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear. Yeah, that's right. You'll know one of the most tempting things you'll ever hear. Come down from the cross and we'll believe you. You keep on about this cross, man. You keep on about that. Paul said, yes. Why do I suffer persecution? Because I keep preaching the cross. It's like the tricker of a fall trap. Oh. But what does it matter if you're God's golden one inside? Shut up with him. Can sing the song of glory in sweet captivity under Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. I preached it to you. It's here. What are you going to do about it? Don't do it. Don't do anything. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do something in a minute. Don't do it unless it's with your whole heart. And you've already determined. You put your fingers on it. That's gone. That's finished. Away with that one. It's finished. Hallelujah. You can see it all. It's all over. All right. Let's pray.